Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight on Wednesday night, coming to you guys live from Revolutionary Gospel News. This is Arthur Joseph Smith, the writer of The Revival of the Roman Empire, The Devil Workshop, Caliphate, Rise of the Islamic Nation, and Temple Mount. Tonight I'll be talking to you guys about the declaration of World War III. The fourth seal has been opened, and the pale horse is riding. Death and hell follows. People, what am I talking about? Today, we have a lot of great events going on. It's a blessed time to be alive, but yet a scary time if you're not in right standing with God, because this happens to be one of the most prophetic times that we're living. We're seeing a whole lot of scriptures being fulfilled. People, for years, have questioned the Bible, but, I mean, almost daily, we have prophetic events happening. So, just like the pale horse in Revelation 6 is talking about, let's look at the scripture. We can read exactly what it is saying. And it talks about the time we're living in. If anybody is familiar, you know, you go out to the grocery store now and you go get some eggs, and eggs will run you about $4. And then there's milk and other staple foods that are seemingly outrageous prices when you go to grocery shopping nowadays. And so I'm going to start at the third seal, And this is going to be revelations because it's all relevant and kind of show you where we're at in time, because hyperinflation was prior to the fourth seal. He says, when he opened the third seal, I heard the third beast. And this is Revelation chapter 6 and verse 5. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. And I beheld, lo, a black horse. And he that sat up on him had a pair of balances in his hands. And I heard a voice in the midst of the fourth beast say, a measure of wheat for a penny, three measures of barley for a penny. And see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. Notice, recently in Europe, around the world, first of all, we've had a problem with staple food, the increasing prices on food. Then in Europe, they've been rocked with austerity measures and then trying to get their economic system together as inflation goes through the roof. Even here in America, somehow they kind of keep it down and keep the people in a state of sleep, but everything is constantly going up. So the third seal represents hyperinflation, which we see. When you go to the store now, and you know, you got eggs, that's $4, you know, that's unheard of. You know, milk is high, bread is high, rice and all of that stuff. Okay, so he goes on, and I'm going to get down to, because I'm going to be talking to you guys about this trail of terror that ISIS is leaving behind, and that's where I'm headed in my thought of the day. And it says, when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see what happened. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that set up on him was Death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth parts of the earth to kill with the sword, with hunger, with death, and with the beasts of the earth. In other words, the kings. If you look at what happened in Paris this past week, when they went in there, it was really the tipping of the iceberg, because at that point, people, we entered into what's really called World War III. There was a declaration of war that had been made when ISIS appeared, and they came about and they began to show themselves in Iraq and Syria. And a lot of people don't know, really, I wrote a book called The Caliphate, and I'm going to get into, I want to look at scripture because I don't always like to just talk, I like to be able to give you some scriptural proof of what I'm talking about. But in my book, The Caliphate, I was looking at that, and I had seen some things that had happened in, you know, the command center of this group. They were moving like tacticians, and I don't know how many people paid attention to that. The last Gulf War or whatever with Iraq, when they disposed of Saddam Hussein for this last time, that when they came across, they never met the Republican Guard, his special fighting force. They disappeared, so you didn't see them. And the whole time they were fighting, I kept asking, where is the Republican Guard? Okay. And then, so they faded away. They went off into civilian, because this is who's really running them. And I have this stuff written down in my book called Caliphate, Rising of the Islamic Nation in Temple Mount. It talks about that. It talks about the command center, who's the brain behind ISIS. Okay. But let's look at the scripture, because when I've seen this group, and I had been studying the Bible years ago, and I've all through my adulthood life, I would say, not through my childhood, probably around 14, I start reading the Bible here and there. But as an adult, I start reading the Bible from about 21 on up, and I really got into it and looking at it. So I had studied years ago, and I've seen this group. When I first seen this group arise up in Iraq, I said, that's the group, because it's somehow in my mind how God ever got programmed. Sometime I'll sit up there, but I recognize the group. And here it is. In Habakkuk 1, let's get Habakkuk 1 and 5, people. It says, behold, ye among the heathens, us among the heathens, Israel, in regard and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your day, end of times, which ye will not believe, though it be told you. You will not believe, even though you've been told about this. People are going to be told about this going on. Even now, they're in doubt. They're not going to take over the world, but What they miss is an ideology. It is not just a people per se. So when you got to understand it. It says, for lo, verse 6, Habakkuk. It says, for lo, I rise up the Chaldeans, Iraqis, that bitter and hasty nation, which shall march through the breast of the land to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs. Okay? So you go and you find out they're going to dwell. Do you know this was a group of Iraqis that rose up? You know, and see, you got to think when Habakkuk's writing, he has never seen cars, so he gives to the best of his ability the description of what he has seen when he begins to describe them moving through the lands on their lines. Hold on, people. So he actually sits up there and he begins to try to explain to the best of his ability. But what is funny about all of this is prophetic in nature because it has to do with two covenants, which started with Abraham. And let's finish reading this, and I'm going to get into what is really happening before our eyes and how you know who these people is and how you know we're at that time. We're at that closing time. I like to call it Clash of the Titans, but it's like two covenants coming into collision course. One was given to Ishmael. One was given to Isaac. Okay, Isaac is a promised seed. And Ishmael was of the bondwoman. It was not. He said that as a flesh, and I will get into that. I'm going to look at Galatians when he talks about that. But this was look at who we're looking at right now, and how this all ties in to this group, to this spirit that is moving over our globe right now as we speak. The pale horse rides. You know, that's really in reference to the Antichrist. Death and hell follows. You know, he's going to take, that's going to pull a piece away from this planet Earth altogether. That's what they're doing. They showed themselves in Paris. And then you have another group, Bukura. Let's not forget what's happening in the dark continent and the black continent, because they always have seemed to do that. They'll first study on them, but they don't tell you about Bukura sitting down in Nigeria, who has made allegiance to ISIS. We have come up under ideology, and they have killed more people, they claim, than according to your TV station or your news or whatever, they claim they have killed more than ISIS have. But we don't seem to hear that blasted on TV, so let's not forget about those people in Iraq. I mean, not Iraq, I mean down in Nigeria, who is dealing with Boko Haram, which is another version of, it's another branch of ISIS, as they spread across the world. Okay. He says, they are terrible and dreadful. Now, I want you to notice something. He told you something about the Chaldeans, which shall, he said, for lo, I will rise up the Chaldeans, a bitter and hasty nation, which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs. To do what? To possess the dwelling places that are not theirs. See, they're going to have power over these different groups. This is an Antichrist movement that you're seeing. This is spirit. And it's an ideology behind that teaching. I mean, it's an ideology and a spirit behind that teaching. And it's a spirit of Satan. They are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity shall proceed of themselves, that Sharia law, of themselves, man-made laws. Their horses. Now, this is where Habakkuk begins to try to explain to the best of his ability of what he was seeing. Okay? He said, and their horses are swifter than leopards and are more fierce than the evening wolf. You see them coming in their Toyota trucks and stuff like that. And their horses shall spread themselves as you see them riding. You see all this on TV now. You just got to just kind of visualize and look at when you see them. He said, shall spread themselves. And the horsemen shall come from afar. They're coming from all over the world to join in this jihad. But not only that, they're going all back over the world. There's people in our country. They're in all of our borders now. This ideology, this spirit, these people are embracing. They shall fly as eagle that hasten to eat. They shall come all for violence, for jihad. Okay? For to wage jihad, that's what they shall come for. Their faces shall spew up in the east wind, and they shall gather the captive as the sand. What do you see when you've been seeing ISIS? And they shall scoff at the king. What are they doing right now? They're letting everybody know that beware, we'll declare war. They declared it from when they first appeared. And the princess shall be a scorn unto them. You see that? And they shall deride every stronghold. You see what they're doing? They're mocking. We will be there. They should deride every stronghold. Russia got their plane knocked out of the air. China have some of them in their country, too. You know, they're popping up everywhere. And for they shall heap dust and take it. Every stronghold, people, not some. You see, and they shall. Then, this is how I know who's in control of these people. Then shall his, the Antichrist's mind change, and he shall pass over and offend and impute this his power unto his God. Now, that's, we got to do a little research here. Daniel 11 talks about that. He says, then shall his, mind change, the Antichrist, and he shall pass over and offend and imputing this his power unto his God. Daniel 11:36. And the king, the Antichrist, shall do according to his will and his purpose. And he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation is accomplished, for that is determined shall be done. Neither shall he regard the God of his father, nor the God, nor the desire of women, nor regard any god, for he shall magnify himself above all. Many have taken verse 37 out of context, people. The desire of woman don't mean he's a homosexual, but he does not care about the children. He doesn't have that kind of compassion in him. And this has been shown through ISIS, how they cut off a child head as well as the grown person. 38 says, but in his estate shall he, the Antichrist, honor the God of forces, Satan. And God, a God whom his father has not shall he honor with gold, silver, and precious. So his father knew not. Ishmael would have came up serving the God of God, but this is not the same for his children. There were some prophetic things said about Ishmael in the very beginning of the Bible when he had started out, and it tells you when he was in the wilderness who he would be. And this starts at verse 11 when Hagar was out, took off from Sarah. And it says, and the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, this is 16 and 11, behold, thou art with child, and shall bear a son, and shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has heard thy cry. See, Ishmael, he's the father of the Arabs. And he shall be a wild man. You hear this? A wild man. In other words, no one shall be able to control him or his seed. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. In other words, understand, prophetically speaking, he would be at war with the world, and the world would be at war with him. In other words, his seed. Everybody's at war with the Arab nations. Or these supposed jihadists, this Islam, you know, which is spoken of as in Ezekiel 8 as sun worship. When he says, take a look at these men, they turn their backs to the temple of Jerusalem and point towards the east. They worship the sun. Well, there is a historical record in 612 that Muhammad was pointing towards the temple of Jerusalem, said Allah told him, turn his back to the temple, point towards Medina. And the Bible calls it sun worship. So Allah would have to have been Satan. That is not a God that we worship. It is not the same thing, because then you have to know their history, because before they were worshiping, before he came along, they were worshiping 360 gods, which is Allahs, which is, represents the 360. They took the biggest one and made his name Allah. So we're already dealing with his children now. We're at war. The pale horse is riding. The spirit of the Antichrist is moving over our planet. But a lot of people don't know what they're looking at, so they're going to be caught off guard. They don't understand that this is the time Christ talked about prior to his coming. when there should come a great falling away first, as it says in Thessalonians chapter 2, when it talks about there should come a great falling away, those who abandon the kingdom of God, those who walk away and begin to do other things or construct another teaching altogether. In chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians, and he goes on to tell you, he said, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come. See, don't be scared about all this stuff, but when you see these things, know that day is at hand. He said, that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, those abandoning the kingdom of God, those who have been called out, ecclesia, the called out ones, called out to be a part of God's kingdom, not this word that's been taken out of place they call church, but ecclesia, called out. They should abandon the teachings of the kingdom. When they're supposed to be preparing people to enter to the kingdom of Christ, they begin to teach something else. They defect. You know, they rebel against the authority of the kingdom. And so he goes on to say in chapter 2, so he told you don't be deceived, because that day will not come except that happened first. It said, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, that is worship, so that he as God, sitting in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. That is why my book is called The Caliphate, Rise of the Islamic Nation, Temple Mount, because that is the only place in the world that God has ever established through Solomon, his temple. So he shall sit in the Temple Mount, showing himself as he's God. He's ruling the world, changing the laws, customs, and seasons. Okay? So that's why I have my book called that, because that's where the Satan shall rule from, the Antichrist. But what you find out, like I said, two covenants, which starts in Galatians chapter 4, and first we'll start at verse 22. It says, for it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the bond made, and the other by the free woman. But who was of the bondman was born after the flesh. In other words, anything said the flesh is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit contrary to the flesh. In other words, it had to have been influenced by Satan. It was contrary to the will of God, this child being born, Ishmael. God had already promised Sarah a child. She stepped beyond, influenced by the devil. Okay, not saying nothing bad about her, but that's what happened. Because he said he's born after the flesh. The flesh automatically represents something contrary to God. But he said, but he of the free woman was born by promise. God promised it. Which things are allegory. Listen to that. They're allegory. These are two covenants. The one from Mount Sinai, the Arabs, engendered to bondage, which is Agar. And for this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, in answer to Jerusalem. We know who's in control of them, huh? This is why we see a lot of actions. Everybody be questioning why they get along like that or what are they doing, because they're in control by the so-called Jew in Israel, which now is and is in bondage with her child. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free. Notice that, not the Jerusalem on earth, but the Jerusalem which is above, the one which is to come, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice, thou barren, that beareth not. Break forth and cry, thou that travaileth not. For the desolated have many children, those children of destruction, than she which has a husband. Now, we brethren, our Isaac, was It says, now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as he that was born after the flesh under the control of Satan persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so is it now. Nevertheless, what it says, the scriptures, cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heirs with the son of the free woman. So brethren, we are not the children of bondage of the bondwoman, but of the free, us who have already been born again. We're not with this Antichrist movement. We're not with this Islam. We're not with this world, period. We're talking about those of us who are truly born again. In other words, as the scriptures have said, he said, except a man, except you be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He can't understand what the true kingdom of God is. Except a man is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. What does that mean? It tells us, because he told them in Luke 24, he said, go preach repentance and remission of sin in my name, beginning at Jerusalem. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost came down. What it said in Luke 17, it says, this kingdom of God shall be within you. It came without observance. It filled the people. That's the first birth of the kingdom. Now we're awaiting the physical arrival. But it says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, water and spirit. Repent is remission of sins, preached there. There's no salvation under any other name whereby we must be saved. The name is there. He said he washed us. King Jesus washed us in his own blood at Revelations 1 and 5. The blood is there in the name. When he poked in the side, it's symbolic. Forthwith there came blood and water. So the blood is applied to your life through the water, through the baptism in Jesus' name. Those of our kingdom, of our nation. We're not going to be, this right now is coming to a head. We're going to fight against these people. This is the last enemy. You know, this is the devil himself. This is him establishing a counterfeit kingdom. That's what ISIS is about, along with the Pope going to the rest of the world. Well, when the Mahdi, the 12th Imam, as they call him, which my Bible calls the Antichrist, he's going to come along and he's going to be able to establish these people. He's going to be able to unite these Arabs. And see, then that's where the false prophet comes in, Pope Francis, and introduce him and says, he's the man with the solution because he can unite the Arabs and bring them under control. One voice, one people. But this is what we're dealing with, people. These people are coming. The Antichrist is coming. You know, and Christ is coming. That's the blessed part of it that he talks about. We shouldn't have to worry about this because at some point Christ is going to return. Now, so we're waiting the physical arrival of our king because we see what just happened. We see they resolved in their resolution to things, and that is to kill, maim, and hurt as many people as they can. And look at this, what he says. And this is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. For if we believe in Christ is that Jesus died and rose again, even so those also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. He says, for this we say unto you but by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which were asleep. And the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with him. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. In other words, we're going to go up. Someone's going to be killed during the time of the mark of the beast and all that. We're going to descend up into heaven. We're going to get up out of these graves. Don't be scared of death. Death has no power over you. And so we descend up and meet Christ, and we're going to come back and take the earth. So earth said that meek shall inherit the earth. It says, but the time and the season, brother, you know need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night. And when they shall say, peace and safety, and sudden destruction shall come upon them, and travail it upon them as a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But you, brother, are not in the darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. See, we should be aware of the things we are seeing. These things represent the end of this age. What we see and we know Christ is not that far. So those that have not been born again automatically should be moving to do what they have to do to be right with God, not your traditional man, trying to make sure they're part of the kingdom of God so when all this is said and done, they have their place in eternity with our King, King Jesus. We should be teaching the kingdom of God is coming. But I thank you guys for coming out and Once again, this is Arthur Joseph Smith. Go out and get my books, The Revival of the Roman Empire, Daniel Vision, Rise and Fall of World Government. Then there's The Devil Workshop, talks about this thing, the organization, the kingdom of God. And then there is The Caliphate, Rise of the Islamic Nation and Temple Mount, which we're currently dealing with. All of it is current, especially The Revival of the Roman Empire and Caliphate. It puts you right on point along with The Devil Workshop and lets you know where we stand at. But thank you guys for coming out again. And this is Revolutionary Gospel News. I'm Arthur Joseph Smith. Y'all have a great evening.